going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome back to Dana and Parks. It is an exciting day in Boston and beyond as former KU Jayhawk runner Sharon Locati broke the Boston Marathon course record. She outran two-time defending champion Helen Obiri over the final mile 1 year after losing to her in one of the closest finishes in race history last year. Locati finished in an unofficial 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 22 seconds, 19 seconds ahead of her closest competitor. And remind us, Sam, when you compare Sharon's time to the men's time, she did something incredible.
She's probably like 35th or 36th overall. The standings only showed up to the 30th place, but she was only 2 minutes behind the 30th male to cross the finish line, which is remarkable.
It is such an unbelievable feat. We reached out to everybody we could think of at the University of Kansas to get somebody on to talk about what this means and what she has done. And we are thrilled to welcome Dr. Michael Whittlesey onto the program, one of the coaches at the University of Kansas. You coach distance and middle distance. Dr. Whittlesey, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Any time to talk about Sharon.
Well, so she almost darn near won the thing last year and then won it in spectacular fashion this year. Were you watching it? Where were you when all this was happening?
Unfortunately, we had staff meetings this morning, so I missed a lot. I missed a lot of the early race, but I was able to watch her last 2 miles. And it was just awesome to see her compete as she normally does and just, you know, out-compete Helen. It was just amazing to watch her do that again.
So she ran for the University of Kansas several years. Do you keep in touch with your prior athletes? And this had to be a remarkable thing for all of you to kind of cheer her on.
Oh yeah, we're still always in touch with Sharon. She's one of the great ones, just as a person. So we're in touch with all the time. She's still training in Flagstaff, Arizona. So she trains there with one of our other former runners is training there as well. From time to time, she'll go back to Kenya to do some training back there. But this is the first full marathon training cycle that she's done in the United States.
Can you talk a little bit about what that takes? Because I'm reading here that she's been training close to 8,000 feet above sea level in prep for the Boston Marathon, running upwards of 140 miles in a week.
Yep. Yeah.
That's I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah, it takes a while to get used to that volume of mileage, and it takes years to kind of build up the ability to handle that and stay healthy. But that's all you're doing is training and resting and recovering and doing everything to keep your body in tune. And it takes a long time for each marathon to really prep for. And that's where, You know, she fell a little bit short at the Paris Games, finishing fourth, because she kind of only had 8 weeks to really focus on the training, because she was originally not on the Kenyan team, and then there was an injury, and they added her late. So she was prepped a little bit better this time, and was able to come out on the better side of it.
So she's been a runner that says since age 12. Did you know when you first got to coach her that someday this would be a result? Was she that good in college?
It took her a little bit. You know, we were talking about that with the whole team today, that when she first came in, her first conference meet in the indoors, she was actually lapped. She finished 12th and was lapped by the other female competitors in the 5,000 meters. So she had to continue to work hard. The next fall, she was 10th at the national championships in cross country. And, you know, as she got more and more confident and more dedicated to her tools, she could do everything from the mile or the 1500 meters all the way through the 10K in college and at an elite level. But I definitely knew with what she did and how she did it, and her focus, that the marathon was definitely going to be her best events moving forward. Now, whether or not I could tell you that she was going to win New York and Boston in her career, those are so hard to do. But yeah, her competitiveness, her toughness, and her mental focus are second to none.
So help us understand, you know, I'm seeing words like smash. She smashed the women's record. Like, how hard is it to do what she did? For those of us who are not familiar with track and field or didn't have high schoolers that ran track and field, why is this so momentous? And I guess, what does it say about the training and the times just keep getting faster and faster?
Yeah, 2 minutes is a huge chunk of time to chop off of a marathon. All the greats have run there. So it's not an easy record to break. And that course is pretty difficult because it's downhill for the first 15 miles. And if you go out too fast, then you go uphill for 4 miles and then you go back downhill, it can really kind of blow you up. And so you have to be disciplined as well as well trained and on for that day. If you're 1% off on a marathon, it shows up big. Where if you're 1% in a 1500 meter race or a mile race, it's not as big of a deficit. But over, you know, 2.5 miles or 2.5 hours of running, or for her 2 hours and 17 minutes, 1% is a big chunk. And so having that mental focus for those 2 hours and 17 minutes, where the only thing you're thinking about is how am I out competing these people for those 26 miles it takes an awful lot. And that's a big chunk of time, 2 minutes.
You know, there are people listening, and I'm certainly one of them, Michael. I cannot even understand how people run a simple marathon here, and let alone what it takes to get into a Boston or a New York. So now that she has won those, what comes next for the most elite of elite runners?
I'm sure, you know, she was disappointed in the Olympic Games finish.
Sure.
But she's, you know, so she's probably looking, you know, 3 years down the road for the next Olympics. But she's going to be looking to go back to the majors again. You know, she's got a good cycle with New York, and they love her there. And she's performed extremely well both in New York and Boston. And whether or not she starts adding the idea of trying to run another major like Berlin and going after, you know, world record times, that I don't know. I haven't talked to her about if that's in her, you know, in her focus, or she's just more thinking about hitting the majors you know, worrying about winning the major ones in New York and Boston.
That's so cool. Have you reached out to her yet?
I know how busy she is. I certainly text her as soon as she finished. The last time when she won New York, I called and called and called, and it took about 2 days for her to give me a call back, because she's got so much press that she's doing. And honestly, I mean, if you got to see her race today, her finishing in and seeing her mom at the end was just great. When she was here, she couldn't see her mom for 6 years.
Oh God.
So she came over here and couldn't go back. And so I think this is the first major win that her mom got to see her. And that was special.
It's a very sweet moment. If you guys all at home missed it, go watch it. She just runs into her mom's arms. She keeps running after the finish line and runs into her mom's arms. It was a sweet moment. Dr. Michael Whittlesey with the University of Kansas, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And hey, let her know we want to get in line for the media interviews. We'd love to have her on the program.
Absolutely. And a quick shout out. One of our biggest fans is your mentor, Dr. John Broham. He comes to every one of our meets, travels to cross-country meets. He's a huge fan of our team, and we really appreciate his support. And I know what he's meant to your career and Scott's career. So,
but you tell him we said hello. You guys have him for the running support, and we certainly owe part of our schooling and our careers to him. Please tell him I said hello.
Absolutely.
Be well. Thank you much, Dr. Whittlesey. This is so cool. Thank you. Sam, I have a weird question, Sam, because I don't know any of these things, and you do. Is there, like, do you, there is money involved in this. That's not why they run. Do not get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but there are sponsorships.
Yeah.
Can you, like, is there NIL deals for track now? Like, she's this huge name. It would, you know, this wouldn't have been around when she was in college, but do track stars get NIL stuff today, like in college today?
Tells me that you would have to be the best of the best.
The best of the best.
To get an NIL deal for
like
track.
Sharon. I mean, she is the best of the best.
But like, if you look at her jersey running today, she had a logo on her jersey. It is sponsored. She does get money for it.
And I know that's not why they do it, but these are not cheap to enter. They're not cheap to train for. Like, you put your life on hold to train, right?
Yeah. By the way, she's less than 8 minutes away from the world record.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So at 2:17 today, she is less than 8 minutes away from the world record. And you were talking about how momentous.
Not just, wait, help me. Not just Boston, just the world marathon record overall.
Ever set by a woman running a marathon. Yeah, it was set at the Chicago Marathon last year by a Kenyan woman. 2 minutes or 2 hours, 9 minutes, 56 seconds. At 2:17, she is less than eight minutes away. And you were talking about the 2 minute gap on the previous Boston record.
Yeah.
That is more or almost half a mile. Because if you think about it, she's running about 5 minutes, 15 seconds per mile at 26.2. Obviously, some miles she's going faster, some miles she's going slower. But if you average it out, you look at 2.5 minutes, she beat the previous record by half a mile.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I was trying to understand. It seems like the times are getting faster and faster and faster. Is that because our training is better? Is it like, you know,
more dedication to it, technology for training, technology for recovery. Recovery is one of the biggest things in distance running. And with
I would never recover.
Yeah. Straight into the ice bath, baby.
913-586-7798. We are back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, I love him so much. Did you see he did a duet with Brandi Carlile a couple days ago? They did I'm Still Standing together.
I had not seen that.
They did some sort of TV special. And ahead of that, he opened up a little bit about his health issues. He has lost most, if not all, of his sight. And still came out and performed at the London Palladium next to Brandi Carlile on Saturday night.
After all these years, he can probably do most of his catalog from memory.
Oh, absolutely. We hope he is around for a long, long time. But I don't know that he is in great health. What a gift that entire catalog of music has been to all of us.
Did they ever say what has led to his loss of eyesight?
I don't remember if they said or not.
Does he need some Izervay?
No, I don't think it's Izervay, Sam.
Get that GA going slow.
If it was, I mean, he would have access to the best health care in the world.
Right.
I think we could get him some Izervay. Speaking of health problems, oh my gosh. One man checked into a Lee Summit hospital with one set of health problems and now has an entirely different set of health problems. I want all of my healthcare people to weigh in on this. I cannot believe we are still sharing hospital rooms in this day and age, certainly after COVID. Listen to this story. A Lee Summit man has been charged after allegedly attacking his hospital roommate. A Lee Summit man has been arrested and charged after he allegedly attacked his hospital roommate. As that man slept, he was stomped on his head. Probable cause statement filed by the Kansas City Police Department revealed that just before 11:40 p.m. last Tuesday, police were called to, this was in Jackson County, to research on
Medical Center?
63rd with report of an incident that involved Lockett and another patient. Witnesses reported Lockett, the one who's charged, 30 years old, went into their room while the victim was sleeping, threw him to the ground and stomped on his head multiple times. An employee had to come in and intervene.
Was he having some sort of psychotic episode?
Heck, I don't know. The victim told first responders he had been transferred to the hospital earlier that day and only knew that he had shared a room with another patient. He stated that he woke up and realized he had been attacked. Hospital staff revealed he had suffered an orbital fracture, two nose bone fractures, and multiple lacerations. As a result, Lockett has been charged with assault in the first degree, faces up to 15 years in prison.
Shared hospital rooms are still very common.
Okay.
Specifically in lower income areas.
But wait, this came up, Sam, about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, because a friend of mine went to a hospital in Olathe. I'm almost 100% it was Olathe, and shared a room.
Yeah.
She said she didn't know. She was like, okay. There was like one of those little curtain dividers.
Partitions, yeah.
And she was sharing the room with a moaner,
mm-hmm.
And she's telling me this story after she gets out. And I'm like, you're joking. There's no way they had you in that room with another woman.
It's a real
she said,
thing.
I did. The woman was moaning constantly and then would stop, by the way, when staff left the room. But when staff came back into the room, she would start up again.
Oh,
not
really
making
selling
a
drugs,
I'm not
drugs,
making a judgment
huh?
on it. I'm just saying that's what I was told.
Something tells me she was hitting that morphine button pretty
she
hard,
She also
too.
Said that family members of her hospital roommate
Gotta come in and visit.
In and out. And she's like, at one point, this is where I draw the line. Well, I draw the line at having a roommate. At one point, a doctor comes in and comes over to my friend and starts talking to her about her medical issues. And she said it became very clear that he was talking to the wrong one of us. And she's like, don't I have some patient privacy rights here where the doctor is talking to me about what's going on with me and the roommate and all of her family can hear this? And then at another point, the doctor comes in to talk to my friend about what's going on with her. And she's like, no, you need to talk to the other woman. That's not what I'm in here for. Let's say one of the women was in for a broken leg and another woman was in for sepsis. Like, The doctor comes over and talks to my friend about her leg, and she's like, that's not why I'm here.
And what if it's something very intimate, like, I don't know, boy, it itches down there.
Can you imagine? Why are we still sharing hospital rooms? And then I asked her, do you get a discount? Do you get half off your facility fee? I'm guessing you don't.
It's lack of space, you know? And some of these
hospitals. There's a health center on every corner.
I understand that, but you would be surprised to this day on busy nights, on busy weekends, when for whatever reason more and more people are going to the hospital, they still have patients that don't even get a room.
Okay.
You get a bed in the hallway.
So when you are talking about the ER, I understand what you're saying. This was a scheduled surgery that my friend had. Scheduled, like 3 months out scheduled.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me we've got a bunk up for that? I am buying it. 913-586-7798. I'm telling you, I would just say no. I'm not sharing a room. I'm not doing it.
You want that surgery?
No, I'll re-elect to have it at a different facility. No,
okay.
I'm telling you, people, we are here to educate you. If you're getting ready to have surgery, ask, am I going to be placed side by side with a crazy person that might stomp on my head, or at the very least will hear all of my
or a moaner
medical information and or moan the entire time? 913-586-7798. We're back straight ahead after this. Stick with us. Oh, yay, 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 yay. Talking about why, especially after COVID, anyone is sharing a hospital room, if for no other reason than the liability I think it would present to hospitals. Not only is private information being chatted about, passed around, sometimes doctors make mistakes, go to patient A instead of patient B. But what if, I don't know, someone walks over and bashes you in the head because they've bunked you up with a crazy person?
Now, it is important to note that this was specifically the psychiatric wing of research.
Even more reason one would want a private room.
I agree. I could be wrong, but they were sharing rooms during COVID. They had to have been. The sheer number of people in hospitals.
A friend of mine that works in hospitals said they had to build and change the configuration of where she works to accommodate more single rooms because of that.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Oak Grove. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey. So my parents, this was during COVID, they had went and seen the doctor together at a hospital. And the doctor came back and told my mom that her liver enzymes were off the chart, that they needed to do more exams. But some time had went by and she had more tests done and her liver was perfectly fine. But then about a year later, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer.
Mike, your parents were sharing a room and they mixed up your mom's and your dad's lab results?
Yeah. Yes.
My dad
went back in to get his gallbladder removed, and they couldn't do the surgery because he was so ate up with the cancer in his liver, and he didn't make it.
Mike, I am so terribly sorry. And they I assume, had the same last name, which would have made it...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, what a nightmare.
And it wasn't but just a few months after my dad had passed away, my mom told me this. And it's like, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what do you do? I mean, we could have maybe pursued going after the doctor in the hospital, but, you know, they're lawyers.
Mike, I'm so sorry that happened to you, but to my point, you know, I told you, my girlfriend had the doctor come to her and talk to her about the wrong case. Like, clearly he mistook patient B for patient A. And she was like, that's not me you want to talk to. I'm not here for cancer. I'm here for this. That's her over there, not me. And I said, why, from a legal standpoint, would the hospitals want anything to do with it? This was an elective, not elective, but far in advanced planned surgery. Think like knee replacement.
Yeah.
Far in advanced planned surgery. And I wonder what your rights are as a patient. Can you say, I am not going to stay in here with a stranger right here next to me.
I don't think you have a choice. From the text line, went to the hospital last year for a planned back surgery. My roommate kept the TV on 24/7.
No.
All through the night, all day long, TV was
industry
never turned off.
Is a multi-bajillion, trillion, gajillion dollar industry.
And they don't care about you.
We get our own room. Do you have to share a bathroom? That's disgusting.
I think there's only one bathroom in there.
That is disgusting.
Are you done? I gotta go.
That is so gross. Lori in Kansas City, hi.
Hi, Dana. So I have a different perspective on this as someone who was just really grateful to have a room. So my husband had a heart attack a few months ago. We were at the emergency department, and they told us that they needed to transfer him to a hospital that had cardiovascular care.
Okay.
Because he needed a procedure done. And we called our first choice, second choice, third choice, all full. And it was a scary moment in time at midnight to know that there was no place available for him in our choices of hospitals, like no beds at all.
Wait a minute. I'm looking this up, Lori. Kansas City has like 11 heart clinics. You're telling me that all, I'm not denying what you're saying. They didn't have the beds at all.
No, hospitals. Like we tried Olathe, KU, Advent, and
Luke's?
HCA, they were not in our plan, but we ended up at Truman, which was not ideal because it was further away from us, but fantastic care, amazing care. He had to share a room. It was not ideal at all, but I will tell you that we were so grateful that there was some place that he could go, and it made for all of those things that you're talking about. I mean, we didn't have, obviously,
privacy,
that information being shared,
right?
But privacy, all of those things, like, you just didn't care because you were so grateful to have a place to go. And I did ask the ER doctor if the reason might be, like, was it staffing?
Yeah.
Was it really full?
Why?
And he said a lot of it is staffing because it had been a little bit crappier weather and people weren't wanting to work, staffing just in general. So sometimes when they say it's full, it's really not full. It's just not,
they don't have the staff.
There's not enough people to work to make it full. Yes.
You know, I'm so surprised, but I'm glad you brought this up, Lori, because I would have thought in a smaller town, like, you're screwed. And I know that. I know, like, maternity wards don't, you know, we have women in these maternity ward deserts right now. But in this town, I am stunned that someone would have a cardiac event and you can't find anywhere to go.
I was stunned as well. And it scared me a lot because I was starting to think we would be staying there in the emergency department in a hallway.
Oh,
they had
God.
More people coming in. Yeah, it was really scary. So it changed my perspective on this completely. We were just very glad to have a place to go.
Well, Lori, I'm glad he's okay. And thank you for the story. I feel like your insurance, if you have no other place to go, every place is full. Let's say Luke's is not in your insurance system. There should be some carve out that if there is not a single place for you to go, it's covered at the only place that's available.
That would be to assume that they care about your care.
Right. That's true. Let's go to Gloria in Lenexa. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. So I just want to say most of it has to do with insurance. I'm the admissions nurse at a place where I work. If you have Medicare, you will get a private room. If you don't, you will get a semi-private room.
Why do they call it semi-private when really it's not private at all? They need to change the word. The word is you have
absolutely
a roommate. You have a roommate.
Yeah. Yep. But it's all about the Benjamins.
Gloria, if you said to me right now, which hospital is in network for your insurance plan, and I've worked here 13 years, my answer to you would be, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Is that something people should know?
Yep, most people don't.
Because how often are we all running to the ER, knock on wood, thank God? I don't have any idea.
Yep, most people don't, and you're really at the mercy of who will accept you, and the staffing is an issue. Before COVID, staffing was an issue. When COVID hit, it compacted that issue.
Aunt Gloria, thank you for the information. Not surprised.
From the text line, I had to go to the hospital for a non-COVID emergency during COVID. My room was the hallway.
Well, during COVID, yes. During the pandemic, yes. But a scheduled surgery that was scheduled 3 months prior, I still don't get it. Let's go to Nancy in Riverside. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
So I have gone to North Kent City Hospital many times because I have AFib. And every time I've been in the hospital, they have scanned my wrist to say who I am. And they make me say, when's my birthday? Da, 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 da. So there's never any. I mean, now I haven't been with other people, but they are very adamant there about who you are.
Well, and they should be.
Yeah.
The last time I was in the ER outside of my traumatic hand incident, which was very traumatic.
Simmer down.
I think it was for the birth of the children. And man, do they scan you in there? You know why? Because of the Lifetime movie event Switched at Birth starring Bonnie Bedelia.
When you were gone, the week that you were at the Masters, mm-hmm. we had a Switched at Birth story.
You did not tell me that.
Another one.
I didn't
Another
watch. I didn't watch any news
story.
When I was on vacation. Was it in the United States?
It was.
We will be talking about
one
that
of the families
when we come
was
back.
Affluent.
No.
One of the families had an alcoholic father.
When did they figure it out?
Like 60 something. They had always joked that he didn't look like he was part of the family. They'd always joke that he got the different genes.
Have they all met?
I don't remember that detail,
oh,
but
man,
yeah.
There would be a lawsuit that you cannot even mm-hmm. imagine. How guilty would you feel if you were the child that went to the
affluent household
and you didn't have that trauma in your life when it should have been the other way around? There would be survivor's guilt
oh,
from
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, we will unpeel that on you when we get back. Stick with us. So both sets of parents involved in this case that Sam was talking about have now passed away. But wow, I was reading about this during a break, Sam. These two babies, 60 years ago, had the same last name, were born a few minutes apart, and were one digit off of the birth certificate numbers that they were issued. Both babies were McMahon.
One named Kevin.
One named Ross.
The other named Ross.
And the nurses back then tagged them Baby McMahon.
Yep.
And accidentally, we think, swapped them.
And for his entire life, Kevin's siblings would joke with him that he was the mailman's kid.
He said his grandmother was
like
mean
them.
To him, and now he knows why. She never really thought she knew deep down that this grandchild could not have been born to her son.
Yeah.
Because you look at these photos, he does not look anything like the other kids. And that poor mother, Sam, with people whispering that she had an affair or this was the milkman's baby. Well, it wasn't their baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Carol, the sister, now 66, just did a whole Ancestry.com thing. Ancestry.com comes back and says, you have a brother that you don't know about living somewhere else. That's the biological brother that should have been brought home with her, after her.
By the way, McMahon has now connected with his brother Ross, or not brother Ross.
Not brother, but
yeah.
Would you want to do that? Like, this is the life you could have had. And this is the life you should have had.
And of course, they're upset with the hospital.
They're
suing. This is completely their responsibility. It is their mistake.
The hospital in Queens still exists. And start adding zeros. Sam, I'm telling you, that's one of those things. The sister even said she was so, like, just racked with anxiety and guilt and all the things when she got the test results back. And she was matched with someone named Ross. Her brother is Kevin. She was matched with your 100% biological brother. This is Ross.
Right.
And Ross lived in some other part of the country. And she's like, oh, my God. She noticed his last name was McMahon. And they started to put two and two together. Lo and behold, Ross was really Kevin. Kevin was really Ross. There's not enough therapy in the world to sort this out.
New York's Jamaica Hospital.
Yeah, in Queens. He said growing up, He had olive skin and brown eyes, while all of the other family members had blue eyes, fair skin, and freckles. He did not feel connected to his dad or his grandmother, who he felt was abusive. I remember my father being affectionate and playful with my younger brother and me trying to get in on that. And my father, he wasn't being mean to me, but he always kept me at an arm's distance. Now everyone, mom and dad, are both sets are dead.
And he looks just like his biological father.
Oh, I didn't look. Does he really?
Yeah.
Would you want to know that? That's almost one of those things that you would rather not know.
After 64 years, I'm taking the deck of cards that I have been dealt and I'm moving on. But
Kevin acknowledged that he harbors a little bit of jealousy toward Ross because, quote, he was the first born child to my biological parents and they didn't question whether he was their child. It was his family who questioned him. Quote, they doted on him. My blood brother Keith tells me that my biological paternal father was Ross's biggest fan, that he supported him, always had his back, was always there. Quote, he said, I would have loved to have had that. Wow. I wouldn't want to know. I really wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
And the siblings are all devastated. I mean, so do you like blend that family? Like, here's your brother, but
when you've been living this entire life, you know, maybe you got over the abuse that you got from your grandmother. Maybe you got over all of the jokes about you not being
you would not
like
get over that
your family, and now all of that past trauma that you have been able to come to terms with comes back full force with a major question. What if it had been different?
Oh, yeah. One of the sisters says they are so all racked with guilt. She said she first started wondering if Kevin was actually her biological brother when she was around 7 years old. I turned to my mother and said, Mommy, why doesn't he look like us? And her mom snapped back, don't you ever speak like that. That is your brother. They now both want the hospital to admit they made a mistake, placing the children with the wrong family.
I mean, you would just have to become best friends at that point, right? You have to combine the families. You have to
go at this together. Sam, as the brother that grew up in the, you know, perfect household with the white picket fence, I wouldn't have told him that. I would have like downplayed how great my life was for him. For his heart, I would have said it was a normal childhood, like
I was the golden boy.
We had our problems like everybody else. Yeah. I think I wouldn't have sugarcoated how great my life was because you stole that life. Man.
But what do you say in that situation? You know, you're as awestruck as they are. You're just spewing the truth.
Hello. Bonus hour is next. We will be back with much more on Dana and Parks tomorrow. Thank you for your continued support of the Dana and Parks program. For Sam, Stevie, and Dan, and Scott, who's in Mexico. I'm Dana, and we cannot wait to have you back tomorrow. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.